Welcome back to Breakaway Tuitions Podcast. This is the second episode for 2021. And this episode is going to be all on year seven stuff. So if you listened to our last episode, we were talking a bit about kindergarten and getting them back into routines and what that might look like as they're starting back into school. So this one is more up my alley as a high school teacher for year seven.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we overlook the change that year seven students experience between the years, year six and seven, particularly for kids that are changing schools. I know that there are a lot of schools in the area that do K to 12. So the transition between six and seven isn't as great.
Mm. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. You've got the K to 12 sector and you've got the traditional, I suppose you'd call it the traditional transition, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you still have a transition though. And so you still are going from having one teacher in your classroom or like one and like your relief RF teacher, if that's what it's still called. Is it still called RF?
I think it is called RF.
Yeah. And so they're going from having the one teacher all the time to having eight, nine different teachers with different teaching styles.
Yes.
And also, there might also be changes in who's in their classes and things as well as they go around with those different teachers too. So it is quite a different experience for our year seven kids. And I do feel like sometimes it is overlooked in terms of how our kids are handling those particular changes, because it can be quite daunting.
I suppose it would help our listeners and everybody who's listening talk about maybe the process involved in transitioning into high school. I know that from the primary area, and we'll only be on primary for a minute because I think it'll be good to talk about high school. I know that a serious high school discussion does tend to take place in year six. They do bring it up there to the teacher and they, you know, they generally have a meeting and they'll bring to the floor, you know, the processes involved and how they're feeling, again, talking about the communication side of it. But rumblings of starting high school can start as early as year five as well, you know, and I've been in those talks and I remember, you know, seeing different children, you know, begin to sort of wonder what high school is going to be like. You know, and I suppose it's interesting because they're older as well. You know, they're the big kids at primary school, and then suddenly they turn into kindies almost in high school.
I think that's part of the anxiety behind starting year seven.
So what would your advice be to the people out there about that sort of issue?
Well, so I guess I come from it from two different points of view. So I was fortunate when I was teaching in high schools to be a year seven year advisor. And so from a teacher's perspective, it is a massive transition in terms of making sure that your teachers who are teaching your year seven classes know as much information as they can about the kids coming into your classroom. Obviously, when a teacher has a student all day, they, in some schools, have the opportunity to really get to know that student and what that student's capable of.
Yes.
And so the change for not just the students, but for the teachers as well, you might only see, if you're doing technology, for example, if you're a technology teacher, you might only see this one kid twice a week for like a 40 or 50 minute lesson, but still be expected to know how that student operates in the classroom and the logistics behind that particular student. And I think that's something, I don't know if was that sort of on topic or off topic a bit.
No.
It is from the teaching perspective.
Yeah, I think it's just important to acknowledge that there is a definite change. And I think particularly with year six kids going into primary, they're, you know, I would imagine, especially in your sort of experience, Alicia, is how do you think a child would feel?
It's really daunting. And I think the main thing is that you firstly as a kid, you're going in, like you said before, basically back at that kindergarten level.
Yeah.
Now, when you're studying kindergarten, though, I feel like a kindergarten student's perception of a year six student isn't as different in terms of, like, who they are. Like, I feel like it's not as threatening. Whereas a student, when they hit year seven, because year 12 are like 18, they're big, they're tall, they're adults, they've got, you know, deep voices, and that, like, that for a year seven kid, I feel is more daunting, because not only are they back down the bottom, I guess, and I guess in some regards, in primary school, I feel sometimes there's not so much of the thought like you're at the bottom of the pack, but it's definitely that mentality when you hit year seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, you hear, I mean, I don't know if kids still tell stories about getting heads flushed down toilets and stuff. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, guys, in high school.
I've never seen it happen once.
I remember, though, and I heard it from kids. So, obviously, like, as a year seven year advisor, we did a whole range of transition days for your year six kids to year seven. And a lot of the times in those transition days, peer support will have taken place in terms of that. So your peer support for year seven are your year 12 students, which is the same as your buddy system, but your peer support system, most schools do peer support through Peer Support Australia, and their systems are trying to get the kids not just to feel comfortable in themselves. And I think that's a big thing. So there's so much, I don't know, that it feels like there's so much more like mental health stuff happening in year seven because of the changes that kids are experiencing as well.
Oh, that's right. They're sort of, you know, they're well established within their formative years by that point.
Yeah, that's it.
They're their own, I mean, it's so funny, even like primary kids, they're their own little person from the start. But when they're in year six, they really begin to figure out that they
individuality.
So I suppose you are right. When you put a year seven kid in, you know, what are they, like 13 years old? And you're,
12, 13.
You know, and you're walking around the same premises as somebody who's 17 or 18 years old, who they can see driving a car in and out of the school.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference. Them. So the mental health side of it, you know, like you were saying, you know, it's important to acknowledge that we're not indestructible as human beings.
That's
and
that it.
We need to keep talking.
Talking about the change. But just go quickly back to the peer support stuff.
Yeah.
Like Peer Support Australia's program is really great. I know I was a peer support coordinator and I also did obviously like professional development with Peer Support Australia on top of that. I do know most of the public schools use Peer Support Australia as their peer support system. In that peer support stuff though, it normally runs for all of term one.
Yeah.
You match your year 12 students who have nominated to do peer support training and be peer support leaders with your year seven groups of students. And you also, as a coordinator, you're trying to mix up those year seven students so they're not in their class group, so they're meeting new people as well. But the whole point of that system is to get the kids understanding who they are as individuals and being comfortable with differences. I think that's a massive thing, particularly because they're changing their school environment and things. But also learning a new place, learning new teachers. And for a year seven student to realize as well that they might only see even their English teacher three times a week or four times a week. And that teacher, though, is like often has between six to seven different classes as well across the whole day. But anyway, so I don't know if that makes sense. But your peer support systems in schools, particularly your year seven to year 12 ones, are designed and put in place specifically to try and get year seven students to feel comfortable in their environment. And a lot of the times, by them having like students in year 12 that they trust and can go to, a lot of like peer mediation and stuff happens in those systems as well, where the year seven students then feel like they have someone to go to when they're experiencing friendship problems and stuff. So this is the other thing though, that often is overlooked at the start of year seven, is that although like in primary school, you like your group that you're with is a lot smaller. High schools, like the high school I taught at, we had 870 kids or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that was a relative, like, it's not small, it was like medium size. But high schools can have up to 1,500 kids in them. So even the size, not just the size of the school, but the size of the amount of kids in their year. So if your kid goes to, like, Glen Quarry... Well, there's like two people in the year group, maybe. No offense. But if there's two people in the year group, right, or a VOCA, or like one of our tiny schools, right, if you've got two or five people in your year group, and then you're going into a school and you have 200 people or 150 kids in your year group. That's it. My year group, I had 140 kids in my year group that I was looking after. That's fun. but as a kid, if you are used to a small class or a smaller environment, and then you're going into your high school system that is so much bigger, so much larger on every scale, it can be really, really daunting. And I think like with your tween kids, apparently that's what we call them tweens now. It's now a thing. Yeah. But with those kids, because they are... because they're at the stage where they're trying to figure out who they are, I think that's a big one. And they're trying to figure out how to fit into their social groupings and how to, you know, navigate all of these changes, whether it's the change like into adolescence and everything that goes with that, like mental health changes, you know, the pressure that they are feeling on themselves often dramatically increases and changes as well. And a lot of these kids, their default mechanism is just to shut out or shut down. Like you shut out your parents who are there to try and help you. It's no longer cool to have a chat to your parents about what's going on. And we all know what happens then with, you know, kids' attitudes and the way that they, Ted's got two daughters, who's going to enjoy that when they hit you, right? because all of those changes are taking place in your exchange between year six to seven and even beyond, sometimes I feel like we just don't realize the massive differences that the kids have to navigate. And I can guarantee that a lot of kids that are entering year seven this year, particularly those where they are entering a different schooling environment, so it's not like they've done K to 12 in the one school, they'll be nervous. They're going to be anxious.
So is there
a whole range of things.
There's a peer support website, isn't there?
Peer Support Australia does have a website, and that I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it for a while.
Yeah.
It has a rundown mainly for teachers on that sort of thing. Peer Support Australia does also now do peer mentoring programs as well. So if you, even if you're a teacher at a school and you don't have a peer support or peer mentoring program run through, I'd definitely check out Peer Support Australia. But like a lot of schools have those systems in place to try and get kids to feel more comfortable. I think as a parent, so obviously like the majority of people listening to our podcast, I'm a parent. See his face. There's another story about those. But anyway, majority of our audience is parents. And just being aware as a parent that schools do have these systems in place will help you to identify easier how your child is being supported in that change and in that environmental change as well.
When it comes to I suppose anxiety and mental health issues as well,
when parents want to come in and talk to, you know, teachers or something in a high school setting, your recommendation, I'm assuming, would be to talk to the year advisor first?
Year advisor is your person to go to. So your year advisor in a high school is the person who is directly connected with the year 7 kids. They are there to support the year 7 kids. So the year 7 kids go to the year advisor. All parental information or anything that parents might need to talk to goes to the year advisor as the central person. And then from there, the information is dispersed from the year advisor to wherever else it needs to go.
Okay.
The year advisor means, like, if there's something significant that needs to be looked at or needs to be discussed, the year advisor would then go and see, like, your principal or your deputy principal. But the systems in terms of, like, who you discuss or who you contact is, I think it's different to a primary school in terms that it all goes to the year advisor. So if your child is having issues in English, for example, instead of going directly to the English teacher, you go to the year advisor, and then the year advisor would then filter that down to English or the head teacher of that subject area as well. And I think sometimes it's the other thing that parents have to wrap their head around as well. Like, so you have your different subject areas, but you, in like the English faculty, there might be 8 different English teachers in the English faculty. So it's easier if things go to the central person and then that information is sent out from there.
I'm just curious because I think when the time comes to navigate schooling, you know, particularly parents who have multiple children in their household, they say that, you know, they've got 3 children. One might be starting year 7, the other 2 are in primary.
Yeah.
You know, still, I think what I'm getting at, I think, is that the parents may feel a little overwhelmed with the process involved. So I suppose what I'm getting at is to educate yourself properly on who the year advisor is within the school that they're going into, or the year rather they're going into. And really keeping them with their point of, you know, that's the point of contact. Because with primary, you just talk to the teacher and then that's where it goes. But that's very interesting. So thank you for filling us in on that, because I'm not a high school teacher.
Yeah. And so I think as well, like, I'm not too sure how parent-teacher interviews work that, like, in primary school, but you also want to keep in mind, like, things like your parent-teacher interview. So lots of schools actually will do a year 7 meet and greet where parents can go up to the school, and sometimes it's like a barbecue. The school that I worked at, we did barbecue meet and greet. All teachers were supposed to be there, and then parents would come up and they would, like, it's just like an informal afternoon, you know, dinner or whatever, around dinner time. But the teachers were then there available to meet with parents, so that the parents knew who their child's teachers were for whatever subject, and you could have a chat with them there. But apart from those types of opportunities, you only really have, like, your parent-teacher meetings or your parent-teacher interview evenings. And, like, the way that some high school systems work is, like, you book 5 minutes with your child's English teacher, and then that 5 minutes is up and you go to your science and then you go to your maths, and then it's only 5 minutes that you actually have to sit down and have a chat to your child's teacher for that subject as well, which honestly isn't very useful a lot of the time. If you, though, have a major issue that needs to be sorted out, and you've contacted the year advisor or, you know, the front office to figure out how, you can always set up a meeting, which would be a meeting with the year advisor, the child's teacher, and the deputy principal as well. There will always be, like, at least 3 people in that meeting to discuss any other issues that might be occurring in that classroom if there's something significant going on. You can always organise those types of meetings. It sometimes is difficult to organise those meetings because obviously the teachers of the different subjects have so many other classes and kids and things they're looking after.
That's right.
Which, again, I think is something that parents need to sort of get their head around in the sense as well. And that's a massive difference, not just for the kids, like we've said, but it's a massive difference for parents. Parents are used to having the one teacher that their kid is interacting with daily. It's no longer the case when they're hit year seven.
So be kind to yourself.
I think so.
Be kind to yourself. We're feeling, obviously there's... The point of this particular episode is to give you as much information as possible. And everyone's lucky because Alicia's obviously got the high school experience there. So I'm sure the information is very insightful. But we need to just ensure that you are kind to yourself on this and you are giving yourself a bit of a break and a minute just to sort of soak it in. And breakaway tuition is... I'm not saying this just to plug this business, but I'm saying this because it's the truth. We are 100% here for you. It's not a big corporation of a business. It's a locally owned, locally sourced business that puts money into the local people. So we encourage conversations. If ever you need to consult with either Alicia, particularly with high school stuff, or perhaps with myself with primary stuff, whatever you feel comfortable with, please, please get in touch because we're here to help you. I think that's probably the best angle to look at.
I think that is.
And, we can just have a chat. It's fine.
We are here.
We'd like to have a chat.
But, I mean, if it's anything, and I think that's the other thing, like if it's anything that you just are not sure on where to go or who to talk to, just come and have a chat because... It could be something completely different that you might not have considered previously. But it's always good to also get an outside angle on
things. I find that helps with even just everything.
Yeah.
Like what shoes am I going to wear? And then,
I don't know. Do you speak to people about the shoes?
I get, in my household, with five people in the house, I get everyone's opinion and then I make an accurate determination from that point.
You know what? I'm not actually surprised.
Why?
I don't know.
Whatevs. please know everyone, we're 100% here to talk. High school, primary, even university stuff,
Yes.
We won't talk about the transition into uni just yet. But though that is an episode we're going to do, isn't it? We're talking about doing something. We've got it written down. I don't know where the book is. We hope that the information that Alicia gave you is insightful. I'm sure it is. And
we
should just
we'll catch you guys in another
episode. And best of luck. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with starting school, guys.
See you later.
See ya.